right. So let's turn to John chapter 17. John is the fourth gospel account, this biographical account of Jesus. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament. So it's in the back quarter of your Bibles. You can look in your table of contents. You need to find the book. And last week we began to look at this prayer. This prayer is absolutely rich and filled with good things. We're going to spend a little bit more time in next week and maybe the week after considering the contents of Jesus' final prayer as he leaves the warm room where he shared this Passover meal with his disciples and is heading into the darkness and the cold winds of his passion as he is taken to a kangaroo court, mistreated, flogged, whipped, and taken to Golgotha to be crucified. This is Jesus's, what many call his high priestly prayer. I'll begin reading from verse 5, and we'll read through verse 19. This is the Word of God. It is the sword of the Spirit. Jesus prayed, "I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given to me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the Son of Destruction, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they may be sanctified in truth also." Let's pray. O Lord, we enter into this holy moment in your service where we get to hear directly from you. Yes, through the Apostle John who wrote this book, the Gospel of John, and yet directly from you, for you inspired John in a holy and special way so that what John says effectively is what you say. And he has faithfully recorded this wonderful and holy prayer of Jesus Christ for us, that we might learn from Jesus Christ's own spirituality what was in his very heart on the night that he was betrayed and the night that he headed towards the cross. We pray these things in Jesus' name and ask that you give us understanding that translates into a transformed life as your people in your world for your glory. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Some of you may have been with me one night years ago when the Wednesday Adult Fellowship went out for a special dinner. We had a young lady who joined the Wednesday Fellowship for some time, and she worked at Capital One, and at Capital One, there was going to be a special dinner thrown, an Eid dinner actually, in an effort to help grow diversity at Capital One. They were having an outside group come in, and that group was going to throw this dinner, which is actually a Muslim celebration. It's a special meal that Muslims eat in their calendar. And so anyways, we were invited out not to become Muslims or pledge our allegiance to Allah or take part in any kind of anything that would make us something other than Christians, obviously. But it was just to eat a meal and to learn about what Muslims believe and do. And prior to the meal, we all gathered in this large auditorium at Capital One, and the group that had been invited in to throw this meal for everybody, gave a presentation. And they do more than just celebrate an Eid meal so that corporations can develop diversity within their employees. They promote what they said, Eastern religions, and the knowledge of Eastern religions. And as soon as they said that, I was very interested because I wanted to know, what are these Eastern religions? Now, of course, I had some idea maybe of what these Eastern religions are, and maybe you can take a moment to account for what do you think they would say are Eastern religions. Well, I guess it wasn't very surprising when he said the Eastern religions are Buddhism and Hinduism and Islam. But I was surprised it stopped there, especially with the inclusion of Islam. Judaism and Christianity weren't included. Now, this doesn't make any sense. If you include Islam, then you have to include Judaism and Christianity as well as Eastern religions. Go and open the Quran, the book of Islam, and you'll come across a host of characters that Christians and Jews also learn about, read about, listen to. Noah, Abraham, Moses, Mary, even Jesus, although of course the Quran understands Jesus in a vastly different way than Christians do. But my point being that this division of Eastern and Western religion isn't a good one. Although there is some validity to it, there are certain religions that arose in the East, say Buddhism or Hinduism, that didn't arise in the West. But Judaism and Christianity began with the people of Israel, very close to Africa, in the Middle East. Anyways, we don't need to get into why these divisions have arisen so much. Why am I telling you all of this? Because it's extremely relevant to us in this congregation in particular. It's extremely relevant to the question of your identity. And even the way that you relate to Christ and in relation to your identity, particularly if you are a Chinese person here. Now, it's not entirely true that I should say particularly if you're Chinese. The fact is that my ancestors, in my case, which were Irish and Italian, let's just look at the Irish for a moment. They were running around banging their heads with wood as they worshipped pagan deities in that very cold and wonderful place of Ireland. Many, many, many generations ago. Irish people were not Christians from the beginning. And so, in that sense, it's important to explore this for all of us in terms of the question of our identity as followers of Jesus. Let me put this in more simple terms, maybe. In the 40-plus years of our church history here at CCCVA, Many, many, many Chinese people have come to believe and follow Jesus Christ. And at some point, I would be willing to bet everything I have. Well, maybe not everything. I'll keep 25 bucks. But I'd be willing to bet a lot of money that at some point, a Chinese Christian in our church has said, within themselves maybe, am I betraying my identity as a Chinese person to become a Christian? Isn't becoming a Christian kind of like a white thing? Not a Chinese thing exactly? And then, maybe even, there's been a person or two who's actually come to the conclusion that yes, it is a betrayal of their identity to become so Western, to become so Christian. And they've left the church as a result, to go and to embrace what they deem to be more Asian, more Chinese, more Eastern, to be themselves, in other words. Now, you may find this surprising, but I believe that Jesus is addressing this very difficulty in his prayer. Like I said, this is a rich prayer. There's a lot that Jesus is doing. But one of the things he's doing is addressing the question of identity in following Jesus. In this case, he's addressing Jewish identity. But he will soon enough, in the next paragraph, address Gentile identity, all non-Jews. But what I want to tell you today is that it is not a betrayal of your ethnic identity or any other aspect of your identity to follow Jesus Christ. In fact, the reality is that when you follow Jesus Christ, when we follow Jesus Christ, we come into a deeper understanding. We come into contact with our deeper identity that then is honored by God with that then our secondary identity is honored by God as the vehicle through which we express our deeper identity. In other words, when we come to follow Jesus Christ and interface with the true God, we come to understand who we truly are, and God then blesses who we are in our individuality as a vehicle through which to express it. That's a bit abstract maybe, but let's start working through that as we look at Jesus' prayer. I'm going to be beginning with the New Testament. And then we're going to go back into the Old Testament. And then I think it's going to help bring things together for you. Because what Jesus is doing in this part of his prayer is he is intentionally bringing to mind amongst these Jewish disciples of his a portion of the Old Testament, which is very important to understanding what he's doing. Let's begin. First, we'll be looking at several words and themes that are going to show up in the Old Testament. So we're going to begin looking at several words or themes in Jesus' prayer. Let's begin with the first. If we look at verse 11, Jesus said, "I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name." That's the first word I want you to pay attention to. Name. If you feel comfortable underlining things in your Bible, you could underline that, or maybe you write that word down in your bulletin. Name. Holy Father, keep them in your name. And what does Jesus say? "Which you have given me." God the Father has given his name to Jesus. Again, this theme of the name comes up again later on in this passage. But let's move on to the next word or theme that I want to focus on. And that is the word one. He says, "Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." Here, that word isn't going to show up in our Old Testament passage, but the theme is there. And that theme really is about covenant. This very biblical notion of this covenant relationship where the people as a whole are in a special relationship with God, who is their king, and they are his servants. God, who is their father, and they are his children. that they may be one. So we've got name, we've got one. And then what does Jesus say in verse 12? He says, while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded, underline guarded. Maybe you even put your hands up like you're guarding something. You'll remember it better. Guarded. Jesus has guarded them, and not one of them has been lost. That's the next word or concept that we're focusing on. Then Jesus goes on to speak about his word. Maybe you touch your mouth or underline or write the word word. Verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world. Verse 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And the last word or concept that we need to pay attention to, verse 18, sent. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. So we have this collection of concepts here that Jesus is bringing into his prayer. Name, one, guarded, word, sent. Now, let's go back to a significant passage in the book of Exodus. I'll just give you a little bit of context. In the Exodus, God drew the people of Abraham out of slavery in Egypt, brought them to Mount Sinai, where he entered into another covenant with Abraham's people. God entered into covenant with Abraham, and now through Moses, God is entering into a covenant that is building upon the covenant that he made with Abraham. We might call that the Mosaic Covenant because it was through the mediation of Moses. And so the passage I'm going to read to you is when the people are at Mount Sinai and they're heading towards the promised land, the land that was promised to Abraham. And listen to how God teaches the people. And you might want to turn to Exodus chapter 23. And we're just going to read from 20 through 22. So Exodus 23, verses 20 through 22. Again, the words we're going to be focusing on are name, one, guarded, word, and sent. Now you might think, how in the world is this related to Chinese identity and the way that God honors our identity, the way that it's more Chinese to be a Christian? How is this all related to that? We're going to get there. But let's go verse 20 through 22. Behold, I send. You see that word? I send. That's one of the words that Jesus is using. Behold, I send an angel before you to guard you. An angel is sent in order to guard the people of Israel on the way and to bring you to the place that I have prepared. Of course, Jesus spoke about a place that he is going to prepare for his disciples as he departs, John chapter 14, verse 21. Pay careful attention to him and obey his voice. Here we have this theme or concept of the word of God. Send, guard, word, obey his voice. Again in verse 22 he says, but if you carefully obey his voice and do all that I say. Then he goes on to say, do not rebel against him. Verse 21, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. There we have this theme of name. So send, guard, word, name. And the context in all of this is this covenant that is being made between God and his people. So if you just looked a bit further back or a bit further forward, even to chapter 24, the whole point of this passage is that God is entering into this special covenant with his people that they might be one, even as God is one. Now, why am I telling you all this? Let me put it another way. Why was Jesus praying with all of these concepts and themes in his prayer for his disciples? Because these Jewish disciples would know their Old Testament. They would be particularly aware of the book of Exodus and all that took place in God's wonderful redemptive work. And they would see that Jesus is likening himself to this angel in whom God put his name and through whom God would give his word that the people might obey that word as they go to a place prepared. That Jesus was like this angel that would guard the people along the way. That Jesus was like this angel who, through his word and their obedience to that word, the people would experience oneness. And so what Jesus is saying to these Jewish people is that to follow me is not to stop being Jewish. To follow me is not to go from being Jewish to being some totally different category of human being called a Christian. And by the way, this was a real problem for Jews. Maybe you would think it wouldn't be. I mean, Jesus is Jewish after all, right? He's still Jewish, by the way. You might think, why would this be hard? It was very hard for Christians who were Jewish Christians in the first century. It was very hard to believe in Jesus and to start following Jesus. It was considered a betrayal of your Jewish identity to leave and follow Jesus. So much so that if you did, you would lose your inheritance rights. If you did, you might get beat up by your uncle or maybe killed. And Jews in the first century, and I'd invite you to read the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament when you go home today, because you'll see it. Jews in the first century who believed in Jesus were thinking that very thing that people in the Chinese Christian Church of Virginia have thought at times over our almost 45 years. That is, have I betrayed my true identity as a Jew to believe in Jesus? Should I stop following Jesus and go back to what people consider more Jewish, to just follow Moses? Would that make me happiest? Would that fit my identity better? Is that how I will truly be who I truly am? Do you see what Jesus is doing here? As he prays this way, he's saying to his Jewish disciples, my friends, to follow me is to actually continue being Jewish. It is actually to take the next step forward in the history of Judaism. It is to be, if you will, most Jewish. If you were Jewish before, your Jewish identity is now only going to flourish even more now that I have come, died on the cross for your sins, so that no more will there be a need to sacrifice lambs on the altar in the temple. To follow me is to receive the Holy Spirit of God so that you might be able to follow God's ways in a way you never have before. It is so that you might keep the Ten Commandments in a way that the people of God never have before in human history. It is to take your Jewish identity to the next level, if you will. But we're really getting ahead of ourselves here, aren't we? Why did God call Israel to be his covenant people in the first place? As they read Genesis 1, they learned that Jewish people are no different than other people when it comes to their deeper identity. On the sixth day, God said, let us make man in our image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And all children of Adam and Eve that fill this earth, whether African, South American, European, Chinese, whatever it may be, we all share in our deeper identity that we are made in the image of God. The reason that Jesus Christ came was to restore us, not first and foremost, to our European identity or our Jewish identity or our Chinese identity. He came to restore us first and foremost through His death, through His resurrection, and the application of His salvation to our deeper identity as image bearers of the living God. And through the reconciliation that He achieves through His death and resurrection, we come in contact with, we come into right relation with the living God so that we know the God in whose image we are made. It doesn't matter where we're from. When we come to know God through Christ, we come to know ourselves in the deepest possible way, our deeper identity as those who were made to make Him known in ourselves. Humanity is a revelation. We talk about the Bible as a revelation from God. My friends, you and you and you and myself, we are all revelations from God. For we were made to make Him known. And here's the wonderful part. When we come to know God through Jesus Christ, and we come in contact with this deeper aspect of who we are, that we're made in the living God's image, made to make Him known, God then wants to honor us in all of our particular individuality, all of our ethnicity, all of our culture, all of our personalities, all of our skills and gifts, and all that. He honors it as the very vehicle through which He is going to make Himself known in this world. To become a Christian is not to become white. To become a Christian is not to become European. To become a Christian is to become most human. To become a Christian is to have all that you are and your particularity be honored by the living God as a vehicle through which He will make Himself known. And so He wants you to be as Chinese American as you can be in your following of Jesus. He wants you to be as North Carolina or as Jamaican as you can be in your following Him and making Him known. And honestly, what more glorious way is it than to have many different kinds of people in one church, mirroring and imaging forth God to one another in the way that we love each other and honor each other in our differences and in those things that we hold in common. In other words, what is more beautiful than loving each other unselfishly and self-sacrificially like the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us? God is good. God is so good. And He loves us. And He has made us to make Him known in all the particularities of who we are and who you are. He cares about that. Don't be ashamed of who you are. And know that through Jesus Christ, who you are will be most perfectly expressed. Increasingly so, and on into eternity, as we come to know God more fully and fully, the one in whose image we're made. And what better way really to express this truth than in a meal? A common meal, and yet a most holy meal, that Jesus had with His disciples. Yes, it is a transformation of that Jewish Passover meal, but Jesus invites the nations to the table. White people, black people, all kinds of people. Everybody is invited to the table. Everybody is invited to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Him alone for their salvation, not in their own works, but in His work on their behalf to be reconciled to God. All are invited. All are invited through faith to then be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, this one God who is a divine community, that we might become one with Him. All are invited through faith and baptism then to come to the family meal, to come to the table together, that we might feed upon Jesus Christ, and that His life might course through our veins, and that His life might be expressed in your particular life as well. On the night that Jesus Christ was betrayed, He took the bread and He broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat, all of you." That same night He said, "This cup is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new covenant, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink, all of you." If you have yet to believe in Jesus Christ and receive baptism, please let these elements pass for now. But don't let the opportunity pass. Now is the day of your salvation. Now is the hour. And come and speak with me or someone else in the church about your faith, that you might join us in this meal. For those of you who are here and maybe are from a different church, you were baptized somewhere else, if you are coming from a church that preaches the gospel, that you have received this message, we are all family. So please come join in this meal with us today.